What I like about that story is that this is one of the Bible stories which I love most because it gives me the most opportunity to think and to imagine. Because what we sometimes forget is how chaotic the scene was, with the animal sacrifices causing quite a stink. But today, something is different, and Simeon has been told, as he prays, that today is going to be different. Simeon spent most of his life in the temple, praying and praising. And many years previously, God had told him that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah, the Saviour, whom the prophet Isaiah described, who Simeon knew all about because he knew his Old Testament. Life under Roman governance was not easy, and the Jews longed to be free of oppression. So far today, Simeon had seen nobody that looked like a warrior king. Anna was there. She was always there too. She had told him that she was 84 years old, and Simeon knew that she had been a widow for over 60 of those. Her face was marked with deep wrinkles, and her joints were stiff. But her eyes danced with life as she walked about God's house. So I like to think. Anna stood behind a pillar and watched as the young couple came in through the door, the woman carrying a tiny baby swaddled to her chest. She guessed correctly that the baby must be 40 days old, as today was the day when he would be presented at the temple. She could see the two pigeons that the father was holding. But then she saw Simeon go over to them. His face was radiant with joy, so much that he could hardly contain himself. And Anna knew that this was what he had been waiting for all these years. People would laugh at him when he told them that God had told him that he would see the Messiah in his lifetime. But Anna knew that he, like she, had devoted their days to praying and listening to God. They rejoiced in spending time in God's temple. They wanted nothing else. That was the best thing, to be with God, to serve him through prayer and praise. As Anna hurried over to the little group, Simeon turned and smiled to her and said, "This is him. I may now die in peace because this is what God promised me. I wanted nothing else in life." He turned to Mary and he said, "Mary, be prepared for much pain in your life. It will be as if a sword pierces your heart." And while Anna saw the fear in Mary's eyes, she praised God for his greatness in sending the Messiah and for blessing this family. And so they blessed the family as they prepared to return home. Why did God choose Simeon and Anna? Well, because this, to listen to him and to pray, was their joy in life. Not a few hurried moments before they ran out the door, but true sacrifice of praise in their lives. This week, as I mentioned, referred to earlier, I have been following Luke 18 in my Bible study notes. And on Monday, we had the first of two prayer parables. And I'd like to give you this thought too, also from my Bible study notes, who refers to Luke's fascination with prayer. Of course, in the chapter we've just read, this is Luke chapter 2, is the story of Simeon and Anna. And now we turn to Luke chapter 18, the parable of the persistent widow, who keeps on demanding that the unjust city judge listens to her pleas for justice. Even if an unjust judge will listen to persistent requests for help, says Jesus in his parable, how much more will the Lord God listen to your prayers? Prayer can be one of our most neglected Christian privileges. It may seem easier to fix things ourselves than to turn to God. We may neglect to give thanks to God when good things do happen. I have been sharing with some of you a very unexpected and very specific answer to prayer which happened to me starting from after Easter last year, when I knew that I was being called to give up the job that I was doing because it was compromising me in too many ways for the work that I wanted to do for God. And yet I could not see how I could actually get the job that I wanted, because nobody would ever give me a contract. I'm a teacher. And what I actually wanted was, believe it or not, to be a classroom assistant on a Thursday and to be a teacher on a Friday. Now, those of you who are teachers will know that that is a completely ridiculous thing to have as an ideal scenario. But that is precisely the job contract I was given at Christmas, along with a message from County Hall to say, are you sure that this is really what you want to do? And the answer is yes, because of the freedom that that gives me. And also it means, for those of you who don't know, that I don't lose my teacher registration, that I, by doing 8 days a year of teaching, which one day a week more than covers, that God will, that my teacher registration will remain active. And that's absolutely brilliant. And I am not very good at praying, and I will say so myself, that I pray with very little faith sometimes, and I pray, God, whatever you want, just make it clear to me what you want me to do. But that's been quite a key lesson to me in actually praying something for something which I thought would be quite impossible. Affects very little on anybody else, but a tremendous effect on me, and a real sense that God is active in looking after my welfare as well. And so, yes, I thank God abundantly for that. And I wonder whether in our prayer lives we can all be challenged or maybe excited by that, to think about praying in a different way. The commentator summarized, God knows our situation and loves us, even when the situation is tough. In that situation, Jesus calls us into collaboration with God through persistent prayer. Persistent prayer is God's ordained means of enabling his people to receive his help and strength in times of trouble. And so as we turn to our prayers in a few moments, we reflect on the story of Simeon and Anna and the blessing they received as a result of their faithfulness in prayer and their collaboration in prayer with God.